thankful for the fellowship, thankful for, there have been people that have stepped into places to try to help the church, you know, week to week, day to day, month to month. That's good. There's a scripture that talks about no matter what your labor of love is, you know, whether you do physical labor or whether you give something towards something, whatever, God said he will not forget your labor of love. And when God says he won't forget it, that means something. That means something when he says he won't forget. Sometimes we put effort into things and do things, whatever, and sometimes it seems like maybe it's not even appreciated. But I sent some people some encouragement this morning. The thing that keeps going through my mind is don't be weary in well-doing. Don't. Always consider to do good. Brian said something a couple of weeks ago in our ministry meeting that I thought was so important. And it sounds so simple, but you just have to think about it. He said, just do that which is right. We got choices all the time. And I was talking to Gary and also to Dan. Man, I've talked to both of them the last couple of days. And some of the things that they said in their journey to get to where they're at now, there's some rough things. They said, hey, man, we didn't have everything all together. We had to learn these things, and we had to get to a point. You know, that's everybody. It's a walk. It's a progression, right? So that's an important thing. We may start off not knowing very much in the things of God. We think we do. You know, we all have our own mind about what we think God is. But after a while, you start learning God's a lot deeper, a lot bigger than what you thought. How did Rick say it? Big, 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 huh? Oh, it's just much bigger than what you thought. And God wants to know you from the inside out. He wants to know you as the inward man. He wants to know how your heart thinks, how your mind thinks. God wants to know that. He does know it, but when I say God wants to know it, he wants you to know it in relationship to him. That's the thing that's important. So say, Lord, is that how I think? Is that how I do things and whatever? God wants you to know it. He wants you to know it. He wants you to be aware of how you think in your mind, the thoughts that go through there, what you allow, what you don't allow. I was talking to Gary. I said, sometimes I see myself on a fence. And on this fence, there's a decision to be made. And which way are you going to go on the fence? Which way are you going to fall? You know, he said, wait a minute, as a pastor, yeah, do you realize there's thoughts that come through our mind too that we have to say, am I going to go this way, Kiko, or that way? I'm on a fence. I have to make a choice. You see what I mean? The more choices we make for right, the more God takes us closer to his kingdom and into his kingdom of the Spirit. The more choices we make in flesh or wrong, the further we distance ourselves from those things. It's the weirdest thing. You say, that's simple. Yeah, it's simple, but when it comes down to living it daily in a daily life, how many times do you make decisions that say, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have gone there. I shouldn't have, you know, whatever it may have been. And but God is the type of God that says this. I know what religion does. It beats you up over those things. But God says, don't beat yourself up over it. You remember what Dan told us? I don't know how many of you remember this. He said, we could be flying, doing good, heading toward heaven, man, and heavenly things. And he said, then we'll get distracted or, you know, get pulled off into something. He actually said even sins sometimes. And what happens, we crash. We think we crash. But he said, here's what you do. You got distracted, you went into sin, you did whatever you did. He said, but God doesn't take you all the way back to the beginning and start you all over again. He said, just repent and pick up right from where you're at and keep flying. That's how it works. That's not how religion says it, but this is what we're telling you now. God, he died for sin. That's the whole deal. So if he died for it, that means that him being present with you always, when something starts to happen, if you repent, you follow the word about what it says to do to correct yourself. The forgiveness is in it. And then guess what? God puts you right back where you're at and you continue the journey. I remember a thing. Remember Brian told us about walking down that road and he thought he was going to take a shortcut. And he went to this little thing off to the side and he tried to climb out on the other side of it. Couldn't. A wall came up, slipped down. Tried to go another way, a wall came up, and he slipped down. Every way he went. And then he finally realized he was in a deep pit in a valley. And he said, and I knew I couldn't get out. And he said, then why did I think that was going to be better going off this road and going in there? And he said, you know what God revealed to him? That was the strange woman, deep ditch in a narrow pit. That's what it was. And he said, man, he said he called on his angel. You remember him saying that? He said, I called on my angel. My angel came and got me, pulled me out of there and put me right back on the right path. Man, what a powerful thing. What if we could do that all the time? What if we had our mindset that you always want your angel to intervene? Oh, wait. People say, you're talking about angels. Well, I don't see angels here. You're not going to see angels in a physical realm. But what if I told you that angel is resident in you and with you all the time? It's there. Who sent it? Where do ministering spirits come from? That's what angels are. All they are is ministering spirits. Where do they come from? They come from the throne of God, man. God issues those things and sends them out for you. And people say, oh, they call it a guardian angel. Actually, the Bible doesn't call it that. It just says that you have an angel. And that angel can be affected by how you think and by what you do. If you're aloof, don't care much about God, got your own deal, God's not in your life very much, your angel's going to be aloof. You're on fire for God, doing the right thing, making right decisions, your angel becomes active. Does that make sense? And then you have a greater communication between you and God. So I'm a 77-year-old man standing up here. Do I believe in angels? I believe in them wholeheartedly because God has used my angel to take me places that I never could have gone by myself. What happens is that if it's a ministering spirit, it was sent by God to help you. You have Christ in you. Do you realize that Christ is the chief angel? He's the one that's over all of them, that created all of them. You have Christ in you, right? So you constantly have your angel, chief of angels in you. You have the Savior that's in you. You have the Creator that's in you. And you have the power that's in you. All because Jesus is there. And people say, wow. I don't think of it that way. Well, you better start thinking about it that way because this is what God wants to show us. Okay, so it's near Christmas time, right? Every year, people love Christmas time. You get gifts. You exchange things. People put their wish list out, and people struggle to get it, and they try to say, we're going to give each other a gift, and because it's Christmas, and it's all in the name of the Christ child. The wise men came and gave gifts to him, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, I think is what they say it is. So they say it was three wise men that came and gave that to him. Now, here's the thing I want to tell you. You ever see those little cutouts and the banks put them up and businesses put them up? You see the wise men there and the babies in the little cradle and they're giving them presents and you see Joseph and Mary standing there and there's a nice little bright light around the baby and so forth. Can I tell you that's wrong? Absolutely wrong. Now, let me tell you why. And some of you know this already. The wise men didn't come until 2 years after Jesus's birth. They weren't there at the time that he was in the manger. But do they show it that way all the time? They show it when you go to, you see the cutouts, you see the thing, you see the wise men right there at the manger with the baby. Go back and read your Bible. They weren't there. They didn't come until a couple years later. And Jesus was a toddler then, running around, mom and daddy and the whole deal. He wasn't a little baby any longer. A couple of years later. Why the couple of years? Didn't Herod say, he told those wise men to come back. Come back when you find them and tell me where you found him so that you could send men to kill him. an angel came to Joseph, Mary's husband, and told him, take the child and flee and go into Egypt because Herod's going to seek his life, and which is true. You know what Herod did trying to kill that baby? The reason Herod wanted to kill him, Herod was the king. And they kept saying, this is the king of the Jews that's being born. I don't want another king besides me. I'm the king, see? And because of jealousy and envy and the whole deal, said, tell me where that baby's at and I'll kill him. Because they're already worshiping this kid and I don't even know where he's at, where he's been born, what he's doing, whatever. He called for the prophets to come to him and say, tell me about this baby that's supposed to be born. And it had been prophesied he'd be born in Bethlehem of Ephrathah, I think it says. It says all of those things. They said, well, tell me, where have they found him? Where is he at? And they found out later on about the wise men following the star. And he told them, he said, when you find that baby, come back and tell me. But an angel, here we go again, warned them in a dream not to go back the same way and talk to Herod. And they went back home a different way. Nice. This, the story of the birth of Jesus and all the details is very powerful. There, the devil tried to get in there and stop this from happening. And God had ways to preserve all the way through. And so what happened was when Herod realized that the wise men were not going to come back and talk to him, the period of time had been 2 years, and he killed every male child in that area, 2 years old and under. Sent his guards out, his army and whatever, started killing males 2 years and under just because he wanted to remain the king in the eyes of the people. He said, I don't want a rival. I don't care if it's a kid. He killed all those young men, all those young kids, 2 years old and under. I think that's, you can see what kind of mindset that is on a person like that. Killing children, killing toddlers, because you're afraid they're going to take your kingdom. Terrible stuff. So he did that. So that lets you know of that period of time that it elapsed. They didn't travel like we did, jumping in cars and in airplanes and trucks and stuff. It took them a long time to get from one spot to another. That's the way it worked back there. So here's the thing I wanted to tell you. Jesus makes a statement to Pontius Pilate. We're talking about Christmas now. This is supposed to be the birth of Jesus. Everybody's celebrating. They call it Christmas, Christmas, right? So that's what we call it, Christmas. And is, you know, exchanging gifts because the wise men brought him gifts, all of that. And it's gotten to be so commercial that there's really not the heart of Jesus in a lot of things that's being done. People do things because they want to do it for other people and they expect something in return. Not good. They said, if you give something, don't expect anything in return. That's the way you should give. Give not expecting to receive again. People don't like that scripture in the Bible. Because you know why? They want to receive. Gimme, gimme, gimme. But it says actually give not expecting to receive again. That's a good way to do it. Give out of your heart. Give because you want to give. Give because you love someone. You see how that works? It's a lot better. But if you give with an expectation to get back, that's not good. What happens when they don't give back? Oh, man, you're upset because you had an expectation. I was just talking to Tim before service today. Some people think they're entitled. It's all about me. Isn't that true? They're entitled. It's all about me, my entitlement. I deserve this. Whoa, 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 whoa. That word deserve, we got to be very careful with. You don't deserve anything. God did what he did for you when you didn't deserve it. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says, when we were ungodly, when we were sinning, when we were doing everything we thought we were big enough to do, that God died for the ungodly. Didn't it say that? It lets us know we weren't thinking about him. We were doing our own thing, man. But he sure was thinking about us. He said, I want to get them out of that. I want to deliver them from a world that's full of sin and death and take them into a world that has life. He thought about us. He thought about us. He loved us enough to do that. I see the way they're going, and I know the end of that is death and hell. I want to take them a different direction. That's what he said. Wow. Very powerful thing. Let me read something to you when he's talking to Pilate, if I can find it in the right area here. Listen to this. I'm going to start at verse 1835 of John. This is Pilate talking. We know the story about Jesus going before Pilate, but listen to this. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me that thou hast done." What hast thou done? Why did they deliver you to me? What is it? Why is this big clamor coming up? Why are they all shouting and telling me they want me to crucify you? Why did they deliver you to me? What hast thou done? He asked them. He said, what did you do? Jesus answered, didn't answer that question. This is what he said. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. He said, if it was of a worldly kingdom, I'd have a whole bunch of servants fighting, trying to deliver me out of this. But he said, but that's not what this is about. This is about something different, okay? Now, here's the part I like, the next part. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Remember, he said, this kingdom, this is not my kingdom. He said, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest. You said it, I am. Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. I was born for this. Born for what? To be judged by you right now. I was born for this. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Wow. Everyone that's of the truth heareth my voice. Powerful thing. I'm going to go to another scripture now. It's very powerful. It's 16:21 of Matthew. Now, we've heard this story before, but I'm relating it to, first of all, Jesus said, I was born to be before you to be judged for this thing to happen. Okay? That's before Pilate. Now, listen to this one. 16:21 of Matthew. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Peter grabs him, he took him. He said, Lord, this isn't going to happen to you. We're your disciples. We'll fight, we'll do what we have to do. This is not going to happen. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Wow. So he calls out that spirit in Peter, huh? Calls him Satan, doesn't he? He said, you savorest the things that belong to men. You think like a man. You think the way men think. But this whole thing is about me coming and performing my Father's will. So he said, they're going to deliver me. I know what's going to happen to me. And they're going to kill me, and I'm going to rise the third day. I'm going to be delivered unto them. They're going to mock me, scorn me, beat me. They're going to do all kinds of things. I know this is coming. But remember what he told Pilate? For this end was I born. This is why I came into the world. This is why this world is not my kingdom. He said, I came for this purpose, to give myself. I was actually born. So what are we checking? We call Christmas the 25th, the birth of Jesus, right? It's all the birth of Jesus. But he's telling us why he was born. I was born to be delivered into the hands of men. I was born to die. I was born to be crucified. He tells his disciples that. One of the disciples doesn't agree with it. He says, no way, Lord, we're going to let that happen to you. No, it's the will of God for this to happen. The very will of God. If you go to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, I'm not going to read it. It talks about the prophecy of Jesus being delivered unto men to die. It talks about he was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, right? It talks about those things. And then it makes a funny statement. It says it pleased the Father to bruise him. This is in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. It pleased the Father to bruise him. Why would it please the Father? Because the Father knew what was going to come afterwards. After his son was crucified, mocked, beat, and everything, and crucified and buried, he was going to rise again. And salvation, the way for salvation, was going to be made for everyone, even the ones that are sitting here, this room right now. Salvation was made for you a long time ago. And what he did, he died for your sins. You didn't die for him. He did, so that they could be remitted. So, born to die, but he said, I'm going to raise again. Remember he told his disciples, I'm going to be delivered into the hands, but I'm going to raise again the third day. They kind of skipped over that part. They said, we don't want you to be crucified. We don't want you to be delivered into the hands of the elders and the priests and all this stuff. He said, no, Lord. But they forgot the last part of his statement, and raise again the third day. He told them what was going to happen. We like to hear what we want to hear sometimes, don't we? Somebody could be telling us, man, you got a devil in you. But the Lord is, he's helping you. He's here to help you and whatever. They'll hear, he's going to help me. Don't skip what he told you the first part. You know, yeah, I know God's here to help you. He can overcome every devil, right? But you have to understand there's one there. And so that he can come and help you overcome it. That's a cool thing. So we're not left in the clutches of a devil or of Satan. We're not left in his clutches. God says, I'm going to make a way for you to get out. So you don't have to be bound by that. That's why I was born into the world. And the whole world rejoiced when he was born. The ones that understood. But now we understand this. Jesus is going to do something else for us. Let me read this to you. I'm going to do a little bit of reading today. This is important. Somebody mentioned this earlier. Acts chapter 2, but I'm going to start at verse 14. So, you've heard this thing about the day of Pentecost. And, you know, there's a rush of mighty wind that comes from heaven. And it filled all the house where they were at. And cloven tongues of fire came and sat upon each one of them. And they all began to speak in tongues, right? As the Spirit gave them utterance. Some people, religious in this world, say that's a bunch of gibberish. You know, you start speaking stupid stuff, you know, stuff you can't understand. The Scripture doesn't bear that out. Doesn't bear it out. What it says is that when they spoke, everybody, all those men from all those different nations, could understand them in their own language. So even though those men were from all the different areas of the world, each one of them heard them in their native tongue, wherein they were born. That speaking was what those cloven tongues were all about. It was delivering a message to them. And you know what part of the message of those cloven tongues was? If you want to get the interpretation of it, those cloven tongues was the message that Peter preached to them that day. He preached a message that opened their understanding. They first started telling him, say, these men are drunk. These men are drunk. How could this be happening unless they've been drinking? You know, whatever. And Peter said, nope, that's not what the problem is. It's about the third hour of the day. The bars aren't open. So we haven't been drinking. He said, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. He said, in these last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit among all men. And your sons and your daughters, they're going to prophesy, aren't they? Your old men are going to, young men see visions, and your old men are going to do what? Dream dreams. He said, this is what the prophet Joel talked about. This day of Pentecost is an empowerment from heaven by having the Spirit of Christ in you to be able to live holy for him. That's what the whole thing is about. Christ told the disciples, said, I've been walking with you. We've been doing this thing for 3.5 years. But he said, but I'm going to ascend back to the Father after I'm raised from the dead. I have been with you, but now I shall be in you as the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. So he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to be with you. I'll stay with you. I'll guide you. Well, this is what Peter's talking about. And he tells these men this. Listen to this, start 2:14 of Acts. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out of those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Isn't that powerful? God said he was going to pour his spirit out on you, and guess what you're going to wind up doing? You're going to prophesy. You're going to dream dreams that God's trying to talk to you. How does God talk to us? He talks to us that way. He talks to us by the scripture I'm preaching to you now. He talks to you through dream and vision. He talks to you that way. He shows you the secrets of what he's done from the beginning in those things and shares them with you. He shares the mysteries of the gospel with you. You always wonder about things that you've heard. Those are mysteries. You say, I don't understand it. God said, I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to share it with you by my spirit. God's not sitting up there saying, I'm just going to be God and keep all this to myself. He says, I want to share it with you so that you can be with me. That's what the whole purpose is. That's what he was doing. That's why he was born. That's why we celebrate Christmas. He was born to bring this forth, but he was also born to die. That's why he was born, to die, and then to resurrect again, right? So listen to what Peter tells them. I'm going to pick up in 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth. Now listen, he goes through a little history here. A man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you. So this is important. He did miracles, wonders, and signs in the midst of all of these men. They couldn't do it. That's why he did that. Why did he perform miracles and wonders and signs? He did it because they can't do it. And then they would have to look at him and say, you're not like an ordinary man, are you? And he said, no, I'm not. I'm performing what my Father gave me the power to do. Now, here's what's so neat about this. He said, not only me, but you too. He's going to give you this same power that you can do the same thing. That's something, isn't it? Perform signs and miracles and wonders which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. It was undeniable. Jesus did so many things, it was undeniable about what he had done. In fact, John says this. He said, if everything Jesus said and did was written in books, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to contain it. He did a lot while he was here. You're just getting the outline in the Bible. He did a lot more than what you read here. But it was so undeniable that Peter could make this statement, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. You know this. You know he did it. Wow. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He's talking to the people that condemned Jesus, the Jews, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. I love that. It's not possible that death could hold him. It's not possible that death could keep him in the grave. It's not possible, because this is the Spirit of Christ that created all things. So how could death hold him down? He conquered death, rose from it, went back to the Father. And he says, I'm going to do the same thing for you. You're going to resurrect. Death is not going to hold anything over you, just like it didn't hold it over me. But you have to be a believer. You have to trust God. This is what it's all about. So Peter preaches this message to him. And he said, David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Even David back then said, God's always with me. He's on my right hand that I can't be moved. Now, if he did that back then, think about what we should be doing now. We have the promise with us, and the promise has been fulfilled. Do we believe that Jesus is on our right hand and that he's always with us? And he goes into this thing, he said, you know what? He's not going to suffer my body to remain in hell. He's going to bring it up by resurrection again. In other words, do any of us in here have to fear hell? We don't have to if we're believers. That's the key. David believed, and by prophecy he tells us you ought to believe. And your body won't see corruption, and it won't remain in hell. It will come forth because it's resurrected, just like he was. So the promise that he would be resurrected, the commandment he was given to resurrect, does he also extend that to us? So will you be resurrected? I'm going to tell you this. Can you be resurrected while you're walking around? You sure can. He said, if Christ be risen, you can be risen with him. Wait a minute, I'm still alive. I'm right here. I'm not dead. Oh, but he talks about a different type of death, huh? You have to die to self, don't you? And when you die to self, you come up out of a grave, a self-imposed grave, because you've been thinking your own thoughts all these years, doing your own thing, doing your own sins. You put yourself in a grave. But God says, I can take you out of that grave. I can open the graves up and bring you life. And I can resurrect you while you're walking around here right now. And if you happen to die in this body, I'll resurrect that too. So it doesn't matter to God which state you're in. He just wants you to understand that he's the resurrector. And he got that by being willing to die. That's what we have to think about. Are we willing to die? Are we willing to die to self? Willing to die to the way we think? The way we do things? Are we willing to die? If you are, you can be resurrected. So was he born to die? Yeah, he was. He was put in this world to die. That's a powerful thing, huh? We're celebrating his birth. But I'm going to tell you something you really need to celebrate. You need to celebrate his death and his resurrection. He said 3 days later, he rose up, huh? And people said, I don't believe it. Well, he said, well, let me show myself to you for a while then. And he was there for a while, wasn't he? Showing himself to people that he was alive. He conquered death. And to us, that sounds like a funny concept. But really what it is, he's telling you that you have the same power. And you're going to conquer that too. Whether it's the death while you're living or the death after life is gone, you're going to conquer it all. Isn't that a powerful thing? I speak these things by the word of God, by the scripture God has given us. And the scripture tells you all of these stories. But what I do, I relate them to you so that you can relate to the story and know that it follows you. It's in you too. So, he was born to die, guys. This Christmas we celebrate his birth, but the ultimate thing was he was born to die. But he had to live a life just like you and me. So we can't point a finger at him later and say, God, you don't know what it's like to live in this body and to be tempted and to be sick and to have all these different things happen to you. And he's just going to kind of laugh at you because he's going to experience everything that you experience, even more so. So that you can't say, well, I have a special excuse for not serving you or for not coming to you. He said, oh, no, I went through that. I went through that, too. And it was bad. He can tell you that. But he's also going to tell you, but my father helped me. Since I was obedient to my father, since I believed, since I trusted, since I had faith, I could make it. And that's the same thing with you. You have all of those things, you can make it. Because Jesus does not leave you alone. He's always there with you. So, born to die, but to be resurrected. Keep that in your mind. That's the purpose of Christmas. Really, that's the purpose of it. A Savior was born into the world. Saving us from what? Saving us from hell and pit, death. He came to do all of that. He came to save us. And it's not because we were so good. How many of you think you're so good in there that God ought to save you? Just had to. You're so good, God just had to do it. I don't remember myself being that way. I don't think if you're truthful, you're going to be that way either. You know God has to come and rescue us, save us. That's the thing that's important. So be blessed today. Know that he was born to die, but he did that for you so that we could all have a chance at the tree of life, eternal life, and live with God forever. He did it for you because he loved you so much. So born to die, but to be resurrected. Hope you got something out of what we said today.